Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to Phoenix Business Radio, broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studio in downtown Tempe, where we help build businesses and we connect you with the right people. I'm Karen Nowicki, and I am very excited to have two new friends in the house who we've established a friendship and working relationship quite rapidly, thanks to Alliance's community. And I'm happy to introduce both of them to you today. We have Michelle Faust with Rhino Online Strategies and eCreativity. Welcome back. Michelle.
Thank you so much.
Happy to have you. And Gordon Parkman, who we have to thank for this connection amongst the three of us with Achieve Results Consulting. Hello, Gordon.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. I'm so happy to have both of you here. So for our listeners who are not familiar with the Alliance's community, it's an incredible organization that brings together inventors, entrepreneurs, business owners, executive leaders from really all over the country, but mainly serving the Metro Phoenix area. And it's a place where we like to say entrepreneurs align. And that's where Gordon and I have seen each other several times, but more so across the room, haven't we, Gordon?
Yes, it's been a distant relationship.
Right. Until recently, when we sat at the same table at a Tuesday round table, and I think we both instantly went, yeah, we need to connect after this. Mm. And then Michelle was Gordon's guest, and she stood up to share her little 60-second advertisement about who she is and what she does for entrepreneurs and business owners. And once I heard her talk about her business, which you're going to get to hear about today, I knew Michelle and I had to meet, and Gordon and I had already made eye contact that, like, today's the day. And that was, I think, only just a couple of weeks ago. And now we've got some really neat things in the work collectively. Yeah. So let me, instead of rambling on, let me introduce both of these incredible entrepreneur and business owners to you. Let's start with Gordon, if we could. Tell us a little bit about Achieve Results Consulting and who you serve.
Okay. Achieve Results Consulting is a firm that I started after retirement almost 9 years ago. Primary focus is helping small to medium-sized business owners understand and learn the business elements of running a business. And that's pretty much the financials, marketing, sales, operations, customer service. Unfortunately, most of the individuals starting new businesses are very good at technically doing what they do, but are not really up to speed as far as running a business that provides the service or the product that they do. And that's the focus of my business. And it's really focusing on helping them learn how to be successful business owners. It's really all about working with them. And, you know, I'll just use an example. One of my clients a few months ago, we need to put together a marketing strategy, and he had no clue what a marketing strategy was. So we sat down and I said, okay. Now I said, these are the things, and we started asking him questions. And I said, hey, you're gonna create your marketing strategy for your business, and I'm gonna sit here and help you do it. And so that's pretty much the way I work. It's really all about everything I do is customized to what my client. Every client is different. I find that there are times that, you know, you got to go really, really slow with people because, you know, you give them more than two things to do, they can't handle it. Yep. And that's a real example of one of my clients who was a business attorney. He said, look, I can only do two things at a time, and that's it.
Yeah.
He said, we want to talk about three because I don't even want to go there. So it's really all about the fact of helping them focus on it. And I kind of do an analogy to building a house. You know, you got to build a foundation, put the walls up, you know, complete the house, live in the house, and then sell the house. And I mean, that pretty much what your business. You start a business, you grow a business, and you position it to be sold.
And when you're living in a house while it's under construction, like you're remodeling the kitchen or the master bath or whatever, there's sometimes a little chaos having to work around. And to have a guide like you and a consultant to help keep us sane, in addition to navigating some of the things that are unexpected in that remodeling and still function in our business and life is huge.
Well, and I think the other part is, you know, from my standpoint, I take a look at, and I had this conversation with these two incredible people. Again, we'll go back to Alliances where I met these folks at Alliances couple weeks ago, and we got connected. And we got talking about, you know, the different things. And it's really all about customizing things for people. And and I think that what really happens is that, you know, people get hung up. They're trying to do too many different things. I mean, the ideal client for me, I've sat down and people said, I'm completely overwhelmed. I have no idea what I'm doing. Mm-hmm. That's the perfect client for me. Because number one, they don't have goals. They don't have any action items. They don't have anybody holding them accountable. And I think, if you will, in a lot of cases, I hold my clients accountable. This is what you said you were going to do. My expectations are that we come to our next meeting. You're ready. And I'm ready, too, for our meeting.
Yeah. Some coaches and or consultants, when I use those terms loosely, have those done for you programs. And I personally have not fit well into those programs. I need someone to hold my hand. I need someone to hold me accountable and customize according to what my needs are. You mentioned the pace, how quickly or fast, you know, quickly or slowly that someone needs to go, in addition to what aspect of their business that they need to focus on. You mentioned marketing, but I know you've helped a lot of businesses with scalability, right? In addition to hiring, I mean, you've done the gamut. Tell us a little bit about your background, Gordon.
Well, one of the things that it's kind of like, you know, someone has asked me, they said, you know, how come you don't have more people working for you? And I said, I take a look at my value to my clients is my vast successful business experience.
Yes.
I mean, that's what I bring to the party. I've been involved 40 years in the corporate world, spent the last 20 plus years of that as a senior manager for a company that we grew from 7 million to over 500 million. Been involved with two acquisitions and as I think I shared that with both of you before, my penance for convincing my boss, the CEO, to buy it is that I had to run it and turn it around. So there's probably little or nothing that can happen in a business that I haven't experienced. And so I capitalize on that experience in helping my clients understand the things that are really important. And it's as you just said, you know, pace is everything. Some people can move fast. Other people can't. It was interesting because I was working with a veterinarian one time, and her favorite expression was, "You've made my head hurt. Our meeting is over." And that was how we ended the meeting. It's like, my head hurts. I've had enough. The meeting is over. And I give another one the same way. Here's a software development. Has an incredible product. We're currently looking at, in fact, working with a company up in Seattle doing its implementation. And that's one of the things he says, I've had enough. That's it. And I think that's really the issue is that everybody has a different pace. And I think going back to, and again, it's come up, you know, it comes into a few other conversations. When I take a look at, I don't have a checklist. I have a mental checklist, but I don't have a template that people... I was working with a business attorney, and we were talking about, you know, online legal stuff and stuff like that. And he said, well, what do you think about that? And I said, it'd be like having online business consulting. We talk about marketing. Number one, do you understand the question that's being asked? And how do you know that your answer is relevant to the question?
Yep.
And I think that's what happens. Without that interpersonalism, it's like you're just answering questions and checking things off.
Yeah, one size doesn't fit all.
No.
And you are able to adapt. And I know the feeling when someone looks at me and says, I've had enough, I can't take it anymore. Because my ideas just stream so fast and so quickly, and I can see things really well. I've had that before. And it used to be like, wait, what, we're just in the juice and the mix of it. Don't back out now. But like you, I've learned to say, okay, perfect. Let's take a time out. Let's come back whenever the next session is and get back at it again and give them an opportunity to, everybody processes differently as well too. Michelle, I want to bring you into the conversation because I know you and Gordon have been working together, and I would love to hear firsthand what that experience has been like for you.
Well, it's been great. It's interesting how it came about. I've known Gordon for quite a few years. We've networked. We meet for coffee every once in a while. And But it was never in my mind that I would actually work with Gordon. And so when I decided to go off on my own with my content and copywriting business, I really just met with Gordon to bounce it off of him. I had the misperception that Gordon worked more with people with businesses with inventory or manufacturing or larger scale type things. So I didn't dream that, you know, someone, you know, just on my own, that he would be interested in working together. But as we had coffee and discussed and brainstormed a little bit, it, I think, kind of came to us both at the same time that that would be a great relationship to go from just being business acquaintances to actually working together. And Gordon, I have scaled quickly. I like to move fast, so I don't let my brain hurt. And so Gordon has really, again, the accountability of it is so important, because as a creative person, I tend to let go of a lot of the admin type things, and he keeps me on track with that. He's helped me to create the forms and, you know, what I need so that it's easier for me to stay on track. But really, the value has been in the connections I'm making. Yeah, Gordon and knows everyone.
He does. And we haven't even, you didn't even highlight that yet. But really, I think part of being a great consultant is to, and guide, is to help connect people with the right people, right? That's what I said in the beginning of our show. That's part of what we do in a very different way. But I know, Michelle, you've mentioned that a couple of times when we've gotten together about the value of Gordon's connections, because if Gordon's going to introduce you to somebody, you know that they're quality people and they love and care and trust Gordon. And it's a quick, rapid way to find a way to a nice new either working relationship or, you know, if you need something beyond that.
It really boils down to trust and credibility. And it's been so pleasant to realize that Gordon has made the connections where people do trust him and have he has that credibility, that they're quick to turn around to respond to me because they believe that I must have the trust and credibility. So it's a wonderful cyclical movement of people making connections. And so that's been extremely valuable to me.
Are you blushing, Gordon? No, just kidding. Anything else you'd like to add around the connections?
Well, I think
piece?
One of the, and I, you know, I guess I kind of take a look at the fact that I always take a look at, you know, what value can, you know, there's a lot of value I believe I can bring to my clients, and certainly my business experience is one. But most important, and I've had this, and I had a meeting with this young lady yesterday morning. She's been in business for 4 months. You know, actually, it's amazing. We keep going back to alliances, but please, I mean, this is one of the greatest organizations that I've been involved with. I happened to meet her actually at the same meeting where you and I sat across the table. Okay. And, you know, she was just happened to be sitting next to me, but nevertheless, she was talking about new business. And it was interesting. We were talking about, and one of the first questions I asked her about, I said, you know, tell me what good connections are you for you. I said, who do I know that would be good? She kind of looked at me like I had two heads, but, and I said, okay, let me give you an example. I mean, I already knew the answers to my own question. So I said, how about, you know, she does interior design. I said, okay, how about person who is a general contractor that does large-scale remodeling and stuff like that? I said, so yeah, that'd be really good. And I said, well, how about a property inspector? I said, imagine somebody is buying a house and he's one of my clients. Both of those people are my clients. But, and I said, you know, going in, and they said, oh man, we're looking for somebody to help. You know, do you know anybody, or the realtor know anybody who do remodeling or looking? I need somebody to do interior of my house. One of my, you know, and I said, you know, that's what it's all about. And so I think I've come up with 4 different people that I'm going to connect with her. Now, whether she does business, I mean, yeah, she could use my help, but I think probably Michelle is probably a good verifier for this. It's all about, you know, this is what I do. This is, and I don't ever say, this is the things that I can do to help you. I mean, it's that you have to make your own decisions if I can help you or not. Because, mm-hmm. and I think the other thing that I always take a look at when I'm working with my clients is I don't ever tell them anything. Michelle will probably be the verifier of that. It's always asking questions. Mm. My home inspector the other day sent me a note and said, well, I have an opportunity to advertise in this flyer. And, you know, he said, what do you think? And my response back to him was, well, tell me what you think and what do you think the ROI is on it? It's not my decision. He has to make his own decision.
But get him thinking.
And the thing is, and I guess go back to the whole differentiation between teaching and learning. To me, teaching is telling people. Learning is helping them understand what's important for them. You know? Yeah, I mean, and we had this conversation about, okay, now who's going to use this? Where's this flyer going to go? Mm-hmm. And we talked about it, and I said, okay, now, you know, what does that market look like? Is that your target market?
I'll jump in for a minute to say that one of the questions that Gordon will have for me is, where do you go from here when I'm not sitting across from you? What's your plan? You know, he's introduced me to a lot of people, but he gets me thinking, what happens after that? Because I'm sure Gordon and I will stay friends forever. We may not be as a business relationship, but we will be connected. But again, he makes you think, what's the next step? What's going to be down the road? And how do you start developing those skills to move your business forward?
Important. And I think I remember you saying, Gordon, that when you work with business owners, there's a variety, even the way that you work with them is different too, right? Some people stay with you and touch base more on a higher level, let's brainstorm, check in level once a month or maybe once a quarter for years. And others, really, you need to be in front of them and with them every week for 6 months to a year and a half. Am I right about that?
That's correct. Yeah. And it really all depends. I mean, it really starts out sometimes with, you know, somebody who has a startup situation. First off, you know, money is really tight or whatever this is, you know, and so we start out maybe working once a month or something like that. And I think what happens is they see the value and the return on their investment in working with me. So that, you know, I have, you know, a great example that a number of years ago, I was working with an attorney, and you know, and she started out the same way. You know, we worked, you know, once a month, every 3 weeks, every 2 weeks, every week. I mean, it all depends. I mean, to me, it's really all about where, and it's all about growing the business. I mean, I'm a firm believer that you never stop growing your business. My question is to everybody, and even myself, is, you know, what am I going to do today to be better than I was yesterday? And I think that has to always happen. That's kind of what, you know, I use the house analogy. You don't ever stop until you sell the house, you know, and even when you're in the house, you're always, you know, painting this or tweaking that or doing this or adding curtains, whatever it is, those are adding things to the overall business. And it's all about positioning and building value into the business. Because if your business cannot run without you, nobody's going to buy it. Because they're not buying you, they're going to buy your business. And I think that's really a key part.
That's the other thing I noticed in our conversation when we did our one-on-one not too long ago, was thinking with the end in mind is what I remember you sharing. And I've had the pleasure of meeting a couple exit strategy consultants. They've been on the show since we've been doing it since July. And as a small business owner, and my husband owns a small business as well, we never started this venture or these ventures this last year thinking, what is retirement going to look like? And we should be, because we're in our 50s. And what how do we build and scale our businesses so that when we're ready to retire and either sell or pass it on within our family or what, you know, whatever it is, that we want to have a plan. And I remember you sharing with me that that's something that with your vast experience in corporate, in addition to these, 9-10 years that you've been a consultant with ARC, that you help us look through that lens when we're not necessarily thinking that far out. That's huge.
I think one of the things that I always tell my clients that every single day you have to be thinking about exiting your business. You have to, if you don't have that in mind, again, it'll be oh, now what do I do? I need to, you know, and it's like a real fire drill. And I think what happens is that people exiting a business don't realize, I mean, it's not an event, it's a process. It takes 2 to 3 years of really an awful lot of work with a good, solid team of people, including myself and others that typically I would bring in about, you know, positioning the business, making sure you've taken a look at all the different kinds of things. I mean, that is so, so important. And I think the other thing is that I'm always talking about, and it was interesting because Michelle and I were just, I was just sharing with her. Actually, we started the email sharing earlier this morning after meeting with my clients. It's all really about the business owner should be focusing on growing the business, managing the business, and managing the growth. They shouldn't be doing things, number one, that they really don't know how to do, like social media. I'm just using that as an example.
Perfect
I mean, there
example.
Are businesses out there that do social media. It's like, you know, use them. And I think the other part is that sometimes, well, it doesn't really cost me anything if I do it myself. And my response back to that is value yourself at $100 an hour and tell me how much it's costing you to do something.
Right
number
on.
One, you have no idea what you're doing. I mean, a case in point, and I'll use Lance as an example. I've been trying to get Lance to move ahead and actually move ahead working with Michelle. And so we're back and forth. And so I sent him, and I told him this morning, we said, and he's going through some things right now where he's really got to spend more time focusing on certain things. And I said, look, I said, how can I help you? But he said, well, he said, you can take over the marketing for my company. He said, you work with Michelle, you do the kind of things.
Wonderful.
And he said, because I'm not going to, I don't have time and I'm not going to get doing it. He said, I know I shouldn't be doing it. So
yep.
He said, if you don't mind helping me and especially working with Michelle, he said, then
yeah.
We'll do it. And I think what happens is that, you know, businesses get them so, so tangled up. I have another client that he has a very interesting business. Again, MetaMed Alliance is end of last year. He provides music groups to churches.
I remember you telling me about this.
It's yeah. like, okay, he from what I've been able to find out and based on what he's saying, he's the only one in the country that does this. He currently has somewhere between 35 to 40 engagements every single weekend in the Phoenix metro area. We're in the process of expansion into Tucson, and later in the year, we're going to be expanding to other states outside of Arizona.
Incredible.
But I think one of the things with him is he was doing everything. And it was like, I mean, you know, and I said, you know, make a list. He's list down everything you do and then check off everything that only you can do. And then he said, then we'll find somebody else to do all these other things.
Yep.
And I think one of the things was really interesting because he's hiring an admin part-time to take over all the stuff that he shouldn't be doing. And we talked about the marketing, and it was really interesting because he was so, I guess, you know, it's one of these holding on to it, this tree he didn't want to let go. And it was so interesting because I introduced him to a new person, actually an individual I met last Thursday, which I was completely blown away by her and her business. She does some incredible things, and I think will be a perfect fit for this individual. And so I did the introduction. I sent him a note afterwards. I said, this is the individual I mentioned to you Wednesday morning, okay? And it was really interesting because he was thinking about using her as kind of on a consultant basis and everything else. He wrote her an email, it was yesterday, okay? And it says, I'm interested in someone taking over my social media and my marketing. And I mean, I was almost completely blown away. But again, it was a situation that he needs to, you know, we're looking at growing this business in other states.
He's got to come out from underneath the minutiae of the business.
And it's like all of a sudden, you know, and I don't push him. I just keep reminding him. And, you know, it's like, you know. And it's all about, the other part is it's so, so important. And he's another example of this, you know, young man, married, and he found out a couple months ago that his wife's going to have, they're going to have a baby. And everything else. And one of the things that kept pushing him, he was working like 24/7. I said, look, you know, you need to come up and designate so much personal time per week. So he's done this now. I mean, he's got it, and I keep him. It was really interesting. We meet every other Wednesday morning, and he sent me a note 2 weeks ago. He said, is it, and it was like, he asked me the question. It's like, why are you doing, I didn't say that, but he says, is it okay if we move our meeting to next week? Because I really want to take off Tuesday through Thursday so my wife and I can go away and celebrate our fifth anniversary. And it was like, oh, my God.
We're getting there.
It was like, oh, we're moving. We're getting.
That's good.
No, and I think that is the thing that's so, so important.
Yeah.
That they just miss. I mean, and I think you can't work.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I did that when I started my business.
There's
you know,
a point, Michelle and I've talked about this. There's a point when you're in startup mode that you have to do, I believe, I'll speak for myself, that you have to do whatever it takes to get the job done until you're in a position to hire and get away from the trees and the weeds and focus just on your zone of genius. I'll talk about social media before we take it over to Michelle. But I'm one of those people who does enjoy social media. I like it. I'm fairly good at it. But that's not my zone of genius. And if I keep playing there too much longer, I'm going to miss opportunities to grow Business Radio X. Mm-hmm. So I have to hand it over to somebody else. Even though I like it and, you know, I can pretend like I'm really being effective in my business because, boy, it, you know, it's got to be on social media. But it's a trick I play with myself. I have to be in different conversations at a different level to grow this business. And when I'm honest with myself, I know that that focus is not sitting there tweeting and posting on Facebook and making a LinkedIn connection. You know, some of that's important, but really I need to be behind the mic and I need to be out there speaking. So can you stay in the studio longer while we're talking to Michelle
Sure.
Gordon? Excellent. Good, good. Michelle, let's come back to you. And first of all, let's back up before we talk about Rhino Online Strategies and e-creativity. You mentioned, obviously, this is a fairly new business for you. Tell us about your career prior to saying, by goodness, I love to write and I'm going to go out there and make this happen. What was your previous career?
Absolutely. Well, I spent well over 20 years in corporate, about almost 20 exactly in pharmaceuticals. So that's that was my the biggest chunk of my career was in pharma, and I did really really well, and I loved it. And as a lot of people experience in the corporate world, downside, boom, you're gone. And I had a list of honors and award, you know, the length of my arm, and I felt safe and secure. And I learned in a heartbeat that there is no such thing as safety and security.
Yep.
So it was kind of a devastating process to go through. And then I was at an age, too, where I was competing with a lot of younger people, making far less salaries in my world of pharma. So I ended up kind of floating around, so to speak. I went into financial services. I went into insurance sales. Nothing fit.
Nothing lit your fire.
Yeah, it didn't feel right to me. So anyways, I've always loved to write, always, and I just never had the faith in myself that I could actually do it as something to make money. It was more of a hobby and a joy. And so during the process of trying to find out, you know, how I was going to reinvent myself, I was writing. And I came to the conclusion that it really fed my soul. It just gave me a happiness that I don't even feel when making money. You know what
yes.
Of course, we all want to, you know, pay our bills. But on the same hand, it was a joy separate too from you know, tying it into a paycheck type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
So I found a mentor and started working with her, and she helped me move along and improve my skills. And I reached a point where I said, you know, I'm ready to jump off that ledge and do it on my own.
Love
it. That's what I did.
So Rhino, which I love that name. We'll talk about where we're headed with that together in a bit. But Rhino Online Strategies and e-creativity. So the business helps business owners, entrepreneurs, get the word out there about their business, right? Through, and correct me if I'm wrong. Well, you tell us, newsletters and online marketing.
So I would say that I'm probably best at my content writing because, and one of the reasons that I believe that's a trend in marketing. The difference between content and copywriting basically is copywriting is really direct sales. You're asking for a call to action. We've all gotten those in the mail, in our emails. It's specifically selling a product or a service.
Transactional driven.
Yes. And whereas content writing is really more about providing something of value, providing information, maybe even a little entertainment sometimes. But what it does is it engages your target market and it begins to build up that trust and credibility because people will buy from those that they like and trust. So content writing allows for that process to happen. There's social media engagement. Your customers get to know who you are. They want to help you out. They want to buy from you. So it's a sales process, but it's subtler.
Mm-hmm. It might take a little bit longer than copywriting or a direct sales piece.
But
when that person's ready to do business with you, they're ready because they feel like they really know you and they know it's a match.
Exactly. And the other thing is you're more likely to scale that customer to bigger sales or at least keep them as your customer in the long term because they are going to trust you. They won't want to leave. So when you talk about newsletters, blogs, what you incorporate in your website, all of that is really content writing. It can be more creative than that. I guess that's the e-creativity is the thought that, you know, on an online presence, you know, what can we do to think out of the box to get that engagement with your target market?
And like with Gordon's business, it's not a one-size-fits-all. It's highly dependent on the personality, the flavor of the business, who their target audience is, and what they want to share, right? So, yeah.
Well, exactly. And so my approach, too, is to take the time to interview the owner, the staff, if there is any. I even like to interview past and current clients that they have because you find out really interesting things, like what were their pain points before they engaged in business with this individual, with this company? What are the pleasure points? What are the things that they benefited from by doing business with this company? And so when you start collecting that kind of information, you can put a more emotional connections out there so that you can word your core messaging in a much more targeted way. And that is really the key to driving your market back to you.
I think one of the things that I saw in Michelle's business well is the fact that, let's go back to what I said earlier. From a business owner standpoint, there's things you should be doing and there's things that you shouldn't be doing. And the part that's absolutely amazing is that, since Michelle and I have been working together, I always ask people, I said, okay, tell me about if this is something that you could get somebody else to do, what would it be? And I mean, I asked that question because it's interesting. I had this one particular person who I'm trying to, I think it would be a perfect fit for Michelle. And the reason she hasn't been is that I found out the other day she's been sick for the last 2 weeks. So that's the reason. But it was interesting because she says, I need somebody to help me write all this stuff. And it's like, perfect. And I had a meeting back to the marketing, the gal I met with the other day, the marketing company. We were talking about different, obviously everybody asked me, tell me what some of the people you work with. And I mentioned what Michelle does. She's, oh my God, I need somebody to do that. Cause, again, she has a company whose focus is on providing marketing services for stuff, not writing copy.
Yes,
it's
right.
Not they don't have. She doesn't have the time.
Writing is a piece of your marketing strategy,
yes,
but it's not all of it. And if you could be great at marketing and the overall strategy and not be a good writer, but you definitely know the value of content writing, copywriting, what the difference is, and where you need to apply it.
And I think the other part is, and I use Lance as an example, I think one of his reluctances was to do it. He said, I can come up with all these ideas of topics, but I don't know how to write about them. And mm-hmm. that's what Michelle and I have been talking about. In fact, this morning he said, I'm going to send you the list of these are all the topics. So you can sit down with Michelle and said, I need you to write me something about all of these kind of things. And I think that's what she does. She does the research. She goes out and finds out about all these things. Yep. And I think her overall style is really interesting too, because, and I shared this again with Lance this morning, I said, it's always about, you know, near it or someplace in the end or whatever. She always adds this little the thought for the day or this little bit of tidbit. And he said, oh my God, I don't even care what she puts in there. That's what I want. I want somebody to think about it.
Yes.
And I think that's really, it's getting.
That's her, one of her strategies.
And it's really all about getting front of mind. People remembering you for whatever the devil reason it is.
Yep.
That it is something
about
it.
There's that part of our brain, the reticular activator, that we have to constantly put ourselves in front of people enough times so that when they're ready for us, we're top of mind. I used to have a real estate practice with my ex-husband years ago. And one of the things that we did strategically was a newsletter. And that was back in the day when the dining room table was covered with a 6-page newsletter that went out to 800 addresses every month. Guess who was behind that? Me.
You're a Karen, of course.
until I hired someone to do the mailing piece for me. But the strategy for us, and it worked, is be in front of your past clients, potential clients, as well as the folks who have ancillary services. And in this case, real estate, it was the mortgage lenders, the home inspectors, pest control guy, everybody. Mm-hmm. And as long as we always let them know we're out there and we're successful in our business and we're willing to help, when the occasion arises and they're at a barbecue mm-hmm. and someone says, I need to find a realtor. Bam, we're going to be the first person they mention. Right. And it's very important. And I know that's part of what your goal is. What's the voice of that client that you're working with, and how do you share that voice with their customers?
Well, and before we go there, I have to, because it fits. So here are the great Gordon quote.
Dun, dun,
I love this and I use it a lot. It's not about chasing the sales. It's about getting people's attention. So that's exactly what we were talking about. So that's probably one of the best explanations of content writing that there.
Nice.
Now, so when you talk about being in front of people, you're so right. So that is the key, especially when you're doing the softer sell and the relationship building. The key is being right in front of them. So I myself write a newsletter once a month and a weekly blog. You know, that can be a lot for some people. Now, for me, I'm thinking 3 blogs out, you know, most of the time. I've got them all, you know, running through my head. But that's because that's what I do and I love to do. For many people, that's where they're going to procrastinate, because it's a struggle. And so they know they need to do it. They want to do it. They feel obligated to take it on themselves. But they just might not get it done because it's a pain point for them. So, again, as we go back to customization and how we really help, or I help individuals, is again, get to know them, get to know their services, speak to their voice. Because one of the reasons I think people hang on to this is because they take it very personally. This is a message coming out from me. So they want it to be from them. But what they may not realize is that, I don't know, for lack of a better way to put it, if I can kind of channel them a little bit,
yes.
You know, and really get into their heads and what their goals are and how their products or service can impact people, then I can write in that way. Then I can project it so it sounds like it's from them. It's not just a stale, formatted piece that goes out.
And I think that's really the key, because you got to remember, and I think in her particular business, working with, you know, with Lance, with Lara, with Angela, I mean, these are all people that we've been connecting her with and stuff like that, and Jess and Holly and all these other people. Every one of those people are completely different. They're all different. They're all in different businesses. Well, I mean, in essence, a couple of them are marketeers, but I think what happens is that each of these digital marketing companies focus in on it. I know one that's a good friend of mine, her only focus is SEO. Will she do other things? Yeah. Does she want to? No. I mean, but she's not, it's like anybody else. She's not going to turn people away that, you know, because, but I mean, I think it's really all about the fact that everybody's different. So, you know, the challenge for Michelle, and I know she's more than ready to accept that, is the fact that each one of these people are different. She has to say, you know, what goes to Lance's head, for lack of a better term, as she's doing mm-hmm. this thing. Mm-hmm. And I mean, you know, we're talking about, you know, I was having this conversation with him this morning, and it's like, you know, I said, there's things that I can do for you, and I can't do home inspections for you. He said, yeah, but you can do the marketing for my business because you know who my target audience is. You know what I want to get out and you know what my message is. Yeah, I can do that for him. I can help him out there.
Yeah.
And I think what happens is the whole issue about, again, parts of it, what she was talking about, getting people to think. I have a young man that I've been working with for probably 6 months or so. And I think you used it. I kind of, the example I talked about, somebody with a marketing strategy, he's a young man. And we always talk about is, always even with a thought about, is there something you're doing today that you don't have to do? And last Friday we met and we were sitting down and he said, I've been waking up every single morning knowing that I have to go and get and generate a contact list because he's doing a lot of cold call emails and stuff like that. He said, I have to get people's, you know, and there's ways that you can get all of this information. He says, I got to, and he said, I wake up in the morning and he says, you know, you triggered it when you said procrastination. He said, I'm going to put that off as long as I can because I hate to do that. He said, I found someone that is going to do that for me. He said, now I wake up in the morning, I'm ready to go. I don't procrastinate because I don't have to worry about this crap that I don't want to do. And I think that's what happens with a lot of small business owners. Again, get involved doing things that, number one, somebody else can do an awful lot better than they do. And what happens is instead of spending their time doing what they're supposed to be, they're procrastinating.
Days, weeks.
And they just, you know, I had an individual that I, before I started working with him, you know, we were talking about, and I'd sent him a note about, you know, our getting together, follow-up meeting, and he called me back. He said, I have been sitting in my office for 2 hours and I haven't accomplished anything. And he said, well, that was one of the things you made a comment when we had our first conversation is that most people are so overwhelmed that they have no idea what they should be doing. They're just running around like hamsters in a wheel.
Which is why we need someone like you, obviously, to bring us back to, okay, what's most important? Because if we're left to our own devices as a solopreneur, we don't always make the right choices. And I know, as Gordon's sharing, I'm thinking of Michelle, too, because we've talked a lot today about the aspect of writing that you offer in your business, but you also help with entrepreneurial support. Can you speak to that aspect of your business too? Because it isn't just the writing piece, although that's huge. Absolutely.
So I think my business is actually kind of taking on its own legs and morphing into something that I didn't really understand it would end up in this way. But through so many of my connections, through my networking, through Gordon connection, through you, Karen, and all these people that I find I get connected with, I'm meeting amazing people. And they all do some, you know, great, great work that every small business owner is probably going to come across needing at one point or another. Whether you're talking banking and financing, real estate, commercial real estate for, you know, finding an office, it may be social media people, SEO. Business owners have, they wear so many hats. And again, as we're talking, they shouldn't wear all those hats. So when they start branching out and realizing they need to turn some aspects of their business over, I believe that I have in my inner circle probably, you know, somebody that's going to be a good fit because I may know three estate attorneys. One may resonate more than the other. will with somebody. So I have that connection, and I believe in connecting people, in building those people around you, get the support of talented people so that we can all help each other. Because there's no reason that anybody should, you know, try to drive that ship by themselves. It's too much. Mm-hmm. And in fact, there was another thing I saw the other day. If you don't have the individuals, you know, that can find the holes in your ship, you know, the ship's going to sink. Mm-hmm. So I help in the way of connecting people. I also, in my newsletter, I make sure that I'm highlighting different industries every month because people probably oftentimes don't think about the fact that, yes, I really do need to get that business attorney on board. You know, sole proprietorship maybe isn't the right thing. But again, everybody's dealing with limited funds, so they tend to put off things like that. So I try to really put that kind of a word out that to be successful, you really need to think about what else do you need in your business, you know, to make it run efficiently. So I've got those great connections, and I can be a little like a one-stop shop, so to speak, especially for the really small business person who probably doesn't have all those connections.
Yeah, let's talk about a great client for you. Who are the business owners or entrepreneurs that would be a great fit?
Well, again, I think we've kind of been talking about them already in the sense that it probably going to be that small business owner who's just starting to grow enough that they realize they can't keep doing it all on their own. So they're starting to think about delegating some of their work. I don't want to niche myself at this point. You know, everybody wants, what's your ideal client? Well, my ideal client wants me to write for them.
and the creative writing, really where you can, like you said, get in their brain, you can channel them and what they want to say so exactly. That it is appealing for the very people that they want to work with.
Yeah. And I think the larger the business is, the more challenging that is. Now, would I say no to a mid-sized or large business if they needed assistance? Absolutely not. But my preference would be being able to engage with the business owner and develop that relationship. So we're working more like partners. That would really feed my soul more.
Yeah. And I know, again, when we spoke offline, the passionate entrepreneur, the business owner, male or female, who's so jacked up and excited about their business and where they're headed really gets you excited, right? Because you can partner with them and help bring that voice out to the masses.
It does. And, you know, I think it kind of goes back to my years in corporate. And how it all ended up. I am so fascinated by people who are entrepreneurs. I love to meet them. I love to talk about them, find out about their businesses, especially the ones who have really creative businesses that you wouldn't even think about making money off of. But they do because mm-hmm. they're passionate and they love what they do. So it's exciting for me to meet those kinds of people. I was so tied to the paycheck and the benefits and all the safety nets that come with that type of a job that I think I look upon entrepreneurs with a little awe. Mm-hmm. In fact, you know, and I've had people say, but you're an entrepreneur. And I'm like, yeah, isn't that funny?
Yes,
I don't
I
think
am.
Of myself that, you know, I look at other people as being entrepreneurs, but yeah. So it is it's been a joy really to meet the kinds of people that I have been meeting in this process.
I think one of the things that I tend to look at is, and you talked about it, you know, I always talk about, you know, what's an ideal client for me? You know, somebody who's passionate and committed about growing their business. I don't really care what they do. Obviously, the only exception would be is if I'm already working with a general contractor that does high-end remodeling, I've had a couple of situations where I've turned down opportunities because I'm already working with somebody. But from a standpoint of, and the other part is, it's all about having fun. And I kind of take a look at my last 20 years. I had a tremendous amount of fun because it was a situation, well, you know, a lot of long days and sleepless nights. And because we're growing a business that was like, oh my God, what are we going to do? You know, we're going to set up an operation in Mexico or what, you know, are we going to buy this company in Rhode Island? Or, I mean, there's all kinds of things. But I think in my mind, those are fun. Those are enjoyable. I have a client that a longtime business friend of mine, I met probably right after I started my business, and he's been a client of mine for the last 3 years. He's interesting. He's taken his business and basically he's adding another segment to his business. And he sent me a note back the other day about, he said, I have to share this with you. He said, I am having so much fun with what I'm doing. This doesn't even seem like going to work. Mm-hmm. And I mean, and it was like, I sent him a note and I said, and I just kind of gave him a thumbs up. I said, because that's what it's about.
It is absolutely.
He said,
about
oh my God,
that.
this isn't work. No, he said, I'm having fun.
Yeah. I've heard Michelle mention that a couple of times as we've gotten to know each other the last couple of weeks. Like, this is so much fun. And that's really where we want to spend most of our energy in our day.
Well, it is. And I'll tell you, you know, funny story from last night. Is my husband's a big college basketball fan when it comes to this point where the tournament played. And of course, he's convinced that I am too, but.
You're good at making
that's a little
it feel
secret,
that way.
That.
Yes, not a secret anymore.
So he was watching TV. I had my computer plopped up and I started working on my newsletter, not because I had to, but because I wanted to. So we have a friend who's staying with us temporarily. And so he was kind of in the room. And intermittently, I was saying things to my husband about a player or something going on and this type of thing. And then I'd go back to, you know, doing my thing on the computer. And so so my friend Daryl says to me, wow. He said, you can work and you can talk about college basketball, and you know, he was just kind of, it was like, yeah, I am woman, I am strong kind of thing. And it just kind of struck me, it's like, yeah, because I integrate my work so much in my life because I do enjoy it. So I wasn't pounding the keys going, oh, this is hard. It was joyful.
Yeah.
But I think the most successful business owners are ones that wake up in the morning excited about what their day ahead of them is going to be. And I think there's two other parts of it too is, and I always, and I do this myself and I encourage all my clients to do the same thing. I said, you know, at least no less than weekly, to kind of sit down for a few minutes and think about a couple of things. You know, what's gone well? What could have gone better? And what could I have done differently to make that go better? The other part is, and the other most important thing is, what do I need to do to grow my business? And I always kind of, you know, I take a look at, you know, it's all about growing your business. And when I talk to people, the very first question I ask them is, you know, where's your business going to be in December of 2020? Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, most of the people don't know where the business is going to be this coming Friday. So, I mean, and I think what happens is they don't think that far out.
Or if they do have an idea or a vision for where they want to be 3-5 years out, they are not making incremental steps and making the movement to get there. It's just, it's more of a dream or a desire as opposed to any action in that direction.
And the next question is, well, tell me about the plan you're going to use to get there.
Right.
And it's like, you know, a plan. What's that?
Yeah.
You know?
Good. Hey, we're only about 5 minutes out from the top of the hour, if you can imagine that. 60 minutes goes so quickly, and I always love sharing that because all my guests are always like, that couldn't have been that long. But I want to make sure that we have a chance, Michelle, to announce one of the neat things that you're doing with Phoenix Business Radio X. Would you like to tee that up for our listeners?
I would, because I'm really very, very excited about it. Having met with Karen and realizing the dynamics that come by being associated with Business Radio X, that I'm going to sponsor a show.
Woohoo!
Yes, and we have a name for it. It is Rhino Nation, and it really is going to be an awful lot about the entrepreneurial support side, because again, you know, I know that my business in writing it will come through my connection. So I'm just ready to jump in and promote and support all the business owners out there. And I believe that Phoenix Business Radio X is probably the most dynamic way I could possibly do that.
I have to agree with you.
Yes,
selfishly, or what's the right word? I don't know what the right word is to when you really believe in something, but you also have a very vested interest in it. Rhino Nation, I'm excited. I know when we were emailing back and forth, we were throwing ideas out for the name of your series, and Rhino Nation just seemed like a fit given the company name is Rhino Online Strategies and E-Creativity. Tell us a little bit about what Rhino means to you and what that represents in both the context of your business, but also your new show.
So it actually comes from a book that was written, I believe, back in the 30s, by Scott Alexander. Very short read, but I would recommend anybody in business to go find it and read it, or you can even find an audio version online. But it's all about, the short version is, do you want to be the charging rhino, or do you want to be the complacent cow? The complacent cows are taken care of, they have a green pasture, they have nothing they have to worry about. But they also don't have a level of joy and you know, passion. They're just cows. Whereas the rhino, the rhino in the story is charging to the promised land, and he goes through the jungle and he fights off the hunters that are out there, and he gets to the promised land, and it's just the rhino's so excited, and then he goes back to his route, back to the cows, to see if he can get more to come over with him. But what he realizes is that they were all rhinos once upon a time.
Oh.
But they just became cows.
Interesting. I didn't know that.
It's a great story. Great story. So it's all about charging and fight, looking at your goal. What is your goal? What's your promised land?
Everything that we've talked about today, right, would be an example of the rhino.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's why it's
passion
in my
and
name.
Purpose and drive. Yeah. So Rhino Nation. And I could not be more excited about having you come on board with us as a sponsor and having
you.
That. So in the coming weeks, maybe even sooner than that, we'll be announcing when this series will take place and your first set of guests. And if anybody listening is interested in learning more about becoming a guest on Phoenix Business Radio X and or Rhino Nation, please reach out and let us know. On that note, we'll close out the show for today. But before we do that, I'd love for each of you to share with our listeners how they can get in touch with you. Gordon, you want to start for us?
The best place to get in touch with me is actually through email. My email address is gparkman@achieveresultsconsulting.com. My website is pretty much the same, achieveresulting.com. I can give you my phone number. One of the things, unfortunately, is if your name doesn't show up on my phone, I don't answer it. So please, if you're interested, leave me a voicemail and I'll get back to you. And instantly, my phone number is 602-509-1886. And if you leave me a voicemail, I promise I will be back to you.
Wonderful. I do the same thing. If it's just a number that comes up, I'm way too busy to take it, but I will get back to you. Excellent, Gordon. Thank you so much for being here. It's a pleasure to hear more from you.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, and learn more about your business. And Michelle, how can our listeners get a hold of you?
Well, my website is rhinostrategy.com. So my email also is michelle@rhinostrategy.com. And of course, my phone number, and I'm going to pick up. My phone number is 480-270-4966.
There'll be a point when you won't pick up.
I wasn't going to say it, but I'm going to let her be in
I can't
space.
Wait for that time to come.
Yeah, wait till we all have an answering service.
Yeah, you know?
Not just an answering machine, but a service. Yes. Well, listen, it's been fun. We could go on forever. I know that. And I know we'll be seeing more of each other as well. And obviously, we'll be seeing Rhino Nation and Michelle in the studio at least on a monthly basis. And Gordon, I'm going to leave an open invitation for you to come back and play with us again, too.
Well, thank you very much. I enjoyed playing with you guys.
Absolutely.
Thanks so much, Karen.
You bet. You've been listening to Phoenix Business Radio with Business Radio X. Some media leans left, some lean right, and we lean business. Until next time, I'm Karen Nowicki.